Yitgadal v'yitgadash shemei rabba. Be'alma divra chirute v'yamlich malchute. Be'chayachon uv'yomechon.
I remember being 7 or 8 years old when I was sitting at the kitchen table eating dinner with my family and one of my parents' friends. She was a bit of an older woman, and she was telling us this story of how she had always wanted to be a cheerleader for her high school but had never made it past the first round of tryouts. And at her reunion, many, many years later, the captain of the cheer squad came up to her and she said, "You know, I always liked you, but you were a Jew." I remember hearing this and thinking to myself, wow, you know, that's just awful. I can't imagine having to grow up Jewish in the 50s. Thank God the world isn't like that anymore. The prayer you just heard is the beginning of the Mourner's Kaddish. The Mourner's Kaddish is a Hebrew prayer used to honor the deceased. This time, I recite Mourner's Kaddish not in honor of a person, but in mourning of the belief that I would ever experience a world devoid of anti-Semitism. It was not even a year later that I remember coming home from school one day to my older sister in tears. When I asked her what happened, she told me that a boy in her class told her she should burn in an oven. Within a few years, I had my own first experience. I was sitting in my middle school English class when some boy stood up on his chair and hailed Hitler. A few months later, I was walking in the hallways at school when a friend approached me. He told me it was his favorite person's birthday. When I asked who, he responded, "Hitler." My parents were never ones to shield us from the truth. I remember the first high holidays at my synagogue where the police were sitting outside. I asked my dad why so many police were here, and he said to me, "Some people out here are going to hate you for what you do in there. The police are here to keep us safe." I understood what he was saying, but I couldn't quite understand why there were 6 cop cars in the parking lot of my temple, but no cop cars in the parking lot of the church when I attended the many different communions of my friends. It's worth mentioning, as you may be wondering, that I grew up in a heavily Christian town. My family was one of 2 Jewish families in my class, and while you might be thinking, oh, that's why there's so much hate here, I know that my parents, who grew up elsewhere, experienced it too. I remember the day my parents discovered that my sister had come home from college with a new tattoo. My entire life, our parents have preached their hatred for tattoos, their permanency, and their ugliness. I knew when they saw my sister's tattoo, they would lose it. But the reason they lost it, I never saw coming. My sister had gotten a tattoo of a Jewish star on the inside of her ankle. My dad asked her, "Why would you do this? Brand yourself with a Jewish star when people in the Holocaust had no choice? It's just not safe." The only thing my mom said, practically in tears, was, "They're going to come for you first." I don't know what their individual stories are, but they grew up Jewish, and they know that some people just have hate in their hearts. I have never forgotten that. The fear on their face and in their voice, I carry it with me. Today, as I got ready to head to the airport to go home for the holidays, I instinctively took off my necklace. The necklace is a Star of David. When I graduated high school and left my small Christian town, I naively thought that this hate would be a thing of the past. Coming to Duke, a university known for its larger Jewish population, I didn't anticipate having any more problems. However, I was sorely mistaken. Anti-Semitism is not going anywhere.
Duke police are looking into a red swastika painted on the Free Expression Bridge overnight.
Duke University's Students for Justice in Palestine chapter is planning to host Dana El-Hassan and Muhammad El-Kurd, 2 of the world's most prolific anti-Semites, on campus.
I'm Joyce Gordon. I'm the Director of Jewish Life at Duke.
The speaker, Muhammad El-Kurd, last semester was not the first and won't be the last controversial speaker who shares anti-Semitic content on campus. And the swastika in 2019 wasn't the first swastika on campus and it won't be the last. Before I even got here, there was a swastika drawn on the Freeman Center sign. So that was really close to home. I feel a responsibility to support, to embrace, to provide an atmosphere where they feel that they can fully express their Jewish identity. I feel a responsibility to educate Jewish students. I feel a responsibility to advocate strongly within colleagues' meetings and with administration.
Joyce explained to me that the Freeman Center here at Duke does anti-Semitism training for everyone on campus. The ADL, Anti-Defamation League, was just on campus to do anti-Semitism training specifically for an insular audience of Jewish students. When incidents do occur, though, there is no set protocol. She explains how for some students, it might be their first time ever experiencing an anti-Semitic act anywhere in their life. So they'll talk about that. For others, they want to take some action, and she helps to support them and coach them on the best course of action to find results.
In all incidents, I have found, students want a place to be, come, be seen, where they don't have to feel responsible for taking action, where they don't have to feel confused or worried, where they can just come and be with other people and just be themselves. Sometimes I hear from folks who are like, you just throw cookies at the problem. Students like cookies, right? They also want to feel like a student, not just othered as a Jewish person. They also don't want to feel under attack for their Jewish identity. They also just want to be 20 years old and struggling with organic chemistry and feel an envelope of support on campus. And so, yes, cookies and a safe place here at the Freeman Center are absolutely part of the approach to wraparound services for when anti-Semitism occurs. We live in a society, and there are people out there who just hate us. And it is not unique to any space in society. And so we have to be vigilant that it is mutable and changeable.
Anti-Semitism is always on the mind of any Jewish student, parent, teacher, or professional. Once I came to Duke, and came to terms with this, I realized that anti-Semitism was all around me, not just in my Christian town, not just at my university, and it was only getting worse in recent years.
There are reports that a gunman carrying two assault rifles had taken at least six hostages at a kosher grocery in eastern Paris.
Flyers with Nazi swastikas and the words, "We are everywhere," appeared at the Idaho Anne Frank Human Rights Memorial next to the main Boise Library.
A banner hanging over the 405 freeway reading, "Kanye is right about the Jews," and then a second banner stating, "Honk if you know." This comes after rapper Kanye West came under fire for a series of anti-Semitic statements.
Police in Waukegan are searching for those responsible for spray painting swastikas on headstones at a Jewish cemetery.
Hundreds of white supremacists gathered in Charlottesville, Virginia for a rally to protest the removal of Confederate monuments.
Incitements to rape Jewish women blared from cars in London. Racist chants at pro-Palestinian rallies in Germany. And a far right-wing crowd giving the fascist salute in Italy.
A gunman driven by anti-Semitic beliefs opened fire inside a Pittsburgh synagogue during Saturday services, claiming 11 innocent lives.
Beck's talking about all these Jews need to die.
In a new report, the Anti-Defamation League finding anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. reached an all-time high in 2021.
Joyce describes anti-Semitism as a social virus. The last virus we eradicated as a society was smallpox. Viruses don't cease to exist, but rather mutate to take on new forms that will keep up with the times. Anti-Semitism will not be eradicated. Rather, it changes to find new ways to continue as our times change.
If we were going to stop anti-Semitism, we would have done it by now. Right? Like, at least the Jewish community. If the Jewish community were going to put an end to anti-Semitism, we would have done it by now. We would have done it after the Holocaust, you know? And the fact that anti-Semitism persists means we can't do it alone. We can't do it ourselves. I mean, we're only 2.5% of the United States population. We're 0.2% of the worldwide population. We're not gonna be able to eradicate anti-Semitism ourselves. Could I envision a future in which there is no anti-Semitism? I can envision it, but I think it's imaginary because it requires us as a Jewish community to all agree on something, We don't agree on the sources of anti-Semitism. It requires us as a Jewish community to build relation, like trusting, deep relationships with other communities, other marginalized communities, to work together to put an end to anti-Semitism and to also put an end to misogyny, racism, colorism, anti-Nate. Like, if we're gonna put an end to anti-Semitism, we're gonna also have to work to put an end toward all the other isms out there. And I don't see the world existing in which that is possible.
While there may never be a world without anti-Semitism, it is still so important to be aware of it. It is important for those who are Jewish, but it is even more important for those who are not. I am so proud to be Jewish, but it can be scary. These events have shaped who I am, not only the personal ones, but every headline I have seen in the news. We need the support of those who are not Jewish to uplift our voices, because ours alone are not loud enough. To be silent in the face of so much hate is to be complicit.
Thank you.